Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Halen, Ryan Elke, Anthony Bellino, all joining you, joining us now on the Meyer Supercenter guest line. He is a Concordia alum. He did his GA years under John Beilein at the University of Michigan. He's currently an assistant coach for the Ohio University Bobcats. He is the Sultan of Swish. He is the Colossus of coaching, the king of the crossover, father of buckets, Kyle Barlow. Coach Barlow, my friend, as always, I called you coach. Don't tell Deion Sanders that. Coach Barlow, my man, first and foremost, thank you for taking the time to join us. What do you like to be referred to as? Coach, Kyle, does it matter to you? Why is this a thing?
Doesn't matter to me at all. I think for old school guys, it is a thing. Like the oldest one I can remember is Bobby Knight. And, you know, a guy called him Knight on campus, and maybe that's what, you know, sparked his the last outbreak before he was fired, you know, according to 30 for 30 films. But, you know, I know Coach K was like that as well, Mike Krzyzewski. And for those guys, I can understand it, right? The military thing, West Point, Army, all that stuff. Like, I get it. I think there's a lot to that. But with, you know, Nick Saban, yeah, have you earned the right to be called coach? Absolutely. Deion Sanders, jury's still out, right? I mean, and trust me, I don't think you have to earn the right to be called coach, but it seems kind of, I don't know, prima donna-ish, which we would never have expected for someone like Deion Sanders, would we?
I mean, not at all. I mean, how could you? And his comments at the SWAC media day were just outlandish. Like, dude, we're not turning on SWAC football over Alabama, but we're not here to talk about football, are we? Kyle Barlow, Coach Barlow, Sir Barlow. House Ohio, this win for Milwaukee last night stands out to me, and I think that this is, and this is what we were trying to get to last segment before we got seriously derailed on a whole plethora of different topics, but this win for Milwaukee, to me, is good for Detroit. It's good for Charlotte. It's good for Atlanta. It's good for every single team, Phoenix even, Denver, Utah, every single team not named L.A. or New York or Boston and these quote-unquote big market teams. This is a win for the NBA and a win for small markets everywhere, and I think that that is something that the NBA should really hang their hat on and really be happy about.
I agree, and that I was going to say the same thing before you brought it up, and I also think it's a good thing that we're celebrating the fact that, you know, Giannis won a championship with the team he was drafted by. And it's like the first, like, major player to do that. And I don't know, people were talking about the stat. I forget what it was, but I guess we could dig deep.
It'll be Steph and Clay.
I really do. Steph and Clay. But it's like, you know, you didn't have to create a super team. You know, the first Steph, Clay, Draymond was pretty organic, and then you threw in Kevin Durant and just became unbeatable to everybody else. And it's like, you know, Giannis stayed, so we're celebrating this. And I think it's a good thing for the market teams like we are. I wouldn't say small markets, but mid markets, right? I think it's a great thing. And, you know, you look and, you know, the Pistons can use a blueprint and turn the corner, right? You know, hopefully Cade Cunningham can be that guy. You know, at showing up at Tigers games, we want Cade, right? So hopefully he could be that guy. And now you look at the Tigers, man, and it's like that team is full of homegrown talent now, and they're starting to turn a corner, undefeated after the break, Bellino. So yeah, it does. It gives us a lot of hope, and it's exciting. And you know, I don't know. I was conflicted on that one. I was kind of rooting for the Suns, but it's hard not to root against Milwaukee and Giannis, especially after seeing the display in, what do they call it, Deer Village or whatever last night?
The Deer District. Man.
Yeah, the Deer District.
It's like the District Detroit, but with less parking lots and more people. Giannis goes for 50 last night. Is he the most likable character in the NBA?
Oh, he's up there, right? I mean, if you're talking about likable, who are you really talking about? I think Giannis is up there. You know, Steph will have his moments, but he and LeBron will have his moments. By the way, Space Jam, I loved it. I don't care. I don't know where the hate, where the shade being thrown.
Oh, here we go.
I thought it was hilarious. I mean, what did we expect to win the Oscar for Best Picture? Like, yeah, it's corny. It's a kid's movie. But it was hilarious, man. Have you seen it?
No, I refuse to watch it. I refuse. Awesome. I'll never watch it.
I liked it.
But really, it was okay. Like, it was a good kids' movie.
It's great, man. So But yeah, anyways, yeah, I think Giannis probably is up there when you're talking about most likable players, right?
Yeah, I think, and I think that we may have a tech issue here that we might have to work on, because Ryan said it was okay. It definitely is a kid's movie. Dan thought that there were some great one-liners in there. He brought up a scene where Don Cheadle threw on a red sweater and threw a chair.
Yeah.
So it
was hilarious, man. It was hilarious.
And obviously you liked it. So that's a positive. I'm not going to watch it because Jordan's the GOAT, and I refuse to say otherwise. But they do have
a Michael, not to spoil anything, but they do have a Michael Jordan cameo, man. So you might have to watch it just to tune into that. And that's all I'll say. They know what I'm talking about. Dan and Ryan know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Probably not, though. Giannis goes 17 of 19 from the free throw line. Some people would complain, but they don't. Man, Milwaukee as a whole shot 29 free throws, which is only 10 more than Phoenix. And to me, it looked like Phoenix was looking to try to draw, especially Devin Booker was like, oh, it was almost like he was searching for fouls instead of, you know, trying to finish, which really seemed odd. And he had a really poor night shooting the basketball, just 8 of 22. He's 0 for 7 from the 3-point line. We'll get to Book and the Suns. But for Giannis to go 17 of 19 from the free throw line after all of the very well documented struggles that he has had this postseason at the free throw line, I mean, that to me, I mean, that to me was the MVP. It sealed the deal. Just the fact that he was that much more improved at the stripe, in which it's something that, you know it, like your 3-foot putts and field goal kicking. It's all between the ears. And if you start slumping, you can't get control of the mental aspect of it, you're going to drown.
Well, one thing I loved about Giannis is he lived in the paint. And, you know, even a couple of the ceiling buckets, he's shooting a one-arm, you know, half-hook floater from the free throw line. And it's like he does his little go-go gadget arm routine where it just do-do-do-do-do. It just keeps going up in the air and nobody can touch it. And it's like, you know, he lived in the pain. He wasn't afraid of it because he was shooting good free throws or shooting the ball from the free throw line well. And there's been some games where we've seen where in the end of the game, it's just, here you go, Chris Middleton, because I don't want to get fouled and miss free throws and cost my team the game. He wasn't afraid of that today, and he just said, you saw a concerted effort by him after game two to be like, you know what, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out in the paint, you know, and I'm just going to keep attacking. Enough with this jump shooting, enough with it. You know, I'm going to live in the paint, which I thought he did, and I thought it was awesome. And, you know, one of the probably most dominant NBA Finals performances in a long time. I'm thinking maybe since Shaq. I don't know, man. Like, Shaq was a different kind of dominant, but Giannis, if you look at his numbers, they're right up there with, you know, some of Shaq's best, some of maybe Tim Duncan's best. Like, I think one of the most dominant NBA Finals performances in a long time.
Especially in a series clincher. I mean, 50 points, 14 rebounds, 2 assists, 5 blocks. He did have 6 turnovers, but I mean, at that point, hell, the 5 blocks was incredible. People are like, that's a foul on Devin Booker, like the 1 block there.
Yeah. He came and maybe right that's why Devin Booker, to your point, it was in his head a little bit, like looking for contact instead of finishing, because you got the Greek freak just hunting you down.
Yeah, and it was a great block. Pinned it and got a bucket on the other end. So doing it on both sides of the floor. I want to transition to the Phoenix Suns because I can't remember if it was early in this Bucks series or if I think it was the end of the Clippers series. There was a possession in which Phoenix had 10 or 11 passes on one possession. It was extra pass, turned on a shot, extra pass, and they got a bucket. And it was like, when they are moving the ball like this, it's beautiful to watch. It's like Steph Curry and the Warriors, and the constant ball movement is impossible to defend. If you move the ball, move without the ball, odds are you're probably going to be in pretty good shape. Their offense looks so out of sorts and so stagnant the last 4 games that they lost against the Milwaukee Bucks. To me, it was like they just could not wake up. It was like, hey, throw it up top, spread out, we'll do a little pick and roll action with DeAndre Ayton, and if that doesn't work out, then everybody just kind of stand there.
No, I agree. Even the first quarter of this game, it was like, like both teams kind of stumbled out of the gate, and it seemed like a lot of iso ball, a lot of one-on-one, and maybe that's a credit to the defensive schemes by the coaching staffs, I think, because it's like, hey, we're not going to let you be at your best. Chris Paul, we're not going to let you just pick us apart in a pick and roll. We're going to switch. We're going to play a low drop, fight over, make you shoot those contested fadeaway jumpers from the elbow or a little further back. So, I don't know, man. I think, I agree. It started off a little slow. Like, after the first 2 games, the Suns looked dominant. And it's like, people were thinking sweep. I was thinking sweep, and I'm sure other people are thinking sweep after the first 2 games. So, you know, I think a lot of credit has to go to Coach Bud for as much criticism as he's received. I think he's got to get some credit for that because the Phoenix Suns were all out of sorts after the first two games.
Oh, 100%. And he was, it was like rumors that, you know, Budenholzer is going to be going to the Indiana Pacers, right? And now here we are like 3 weeks later, and it's like, yeah, here comes a contract extension. It's crazy, you know, how that how that all really, you know, comes to be and how it all works. And one of the more, I guess, interesting aspects of this game and maybe of this series, Giannis said it afterwards, and we you know, kind of mentioned Milwaukee, that homegrown talent, but not joining a super team. He went out of his way to say that he could have done it the easy way. He played the audio multiple times this morning, but he could have joined a super team, played his role, but he did it the hard way. He did it his way, the way that it's supposed to be done. And that makes me like him all that much more because, you know, there's not another all-NBA caliber player on this team. Chris Middleton had a really nice playoffs, and he's had a really good season. He's a good complimentary player, but it's not, you're not adding one of the top 10, top, you know, 15 players in the league as of right now to your roster. You're not adding Kevin Love with Kyrie Irving and LeBron James or going out and calling, you know, D-Wade and Chris Bosh or, you know, Kevin Durant fleeing, you know, Oklahoma City to join the Warriors. Like, this is so much better for the league as a whole and so much better for Giannis. You start to look at his accomplishments, and it's like, yeah, he's got one down, and he's one for one in the finals, three more to go, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, wait a minute, we might be having a new conversation here.
Giannis should have quoted Drake. What did Drake say? We're drinking every night because we're drinking to my accomplishments. But, no, I mean, you definitely, you look at it, and I agree with you. I got to say I agree with you, but there is a but there. And it's like, to me, you know, we argued about this maybe a month ago, but, you know, you never look back and, you know, tell the whole story of the playoffs. The whole story of the playoffs is Giannis broke through, not on a super team, and, you know, won an NBA Finals in Milwaukee, which is not a, you know, power market. But let's be honest, man. I mean, let's be honest with Giannis. A lot of injuries this year. And, you know, you're Kevin Durant big toe away without Kyrie and the skeleton of James Harden away from not even being in the finals, man. And it's like you look on the other side, it's like you're playing the Phoenix Suns, not, you know, the L.A. Lakers or not the
full-strength L.A. Clippers.
The Warriors. Or full-strength L.A. Clippers or full-strength Denver Nuggets. You know, you just be looking around the league and it is what it is, I know. Or, without Kawhi Leonard, so. You know, I do think that now the narrative can be shifted and it might be a little revisionist history because it's like, look, we did it. I did it with a small market team, blah, blah, blah. But Giannis, for all his dominance this series, has had extreme faults during the playoffs. And if there was a team, you know, that was full strength, I don't know if he'd be here, man. I don't know if we'd be having the same conversation. But, you know, that shouldn't be said right now because we're going to enjoy the moment. But I do think it is, like, let's not act like this is the roadmap in the NBA right now, because the super team way or the super team has been proved to be the roadmap for the past, you know, probably, 10 years now?
Well, it's worked for LeBron. I don't blame Steph, Clay, and Draymond because they were homegrown. I blame Kevin Durant for jumping ship, and I think that
it doesn't care who you blame, but it was a super team.
And I think that the basketball gods have seen enough. I believe in them. I do. Yeah. I believe that they're real. Giannis, by the way, you're laughing at me, but they do not forget. It's like when Bryson DeChambeau started talking smack about Augusta, he was going to play like par 5 or par 64
par
or whatever.
64.
Yeah. Look at him now. You don't say those kind of things because the gods, they hear you and they know. You know,
thou shalt not tempt the Lord.
Thou shalt not speak negatively or join thy super teams. And don't forget the first, you know, that Miami super team lost to Dirk in the Mavs. Giannis in the finals, 27-4 in game one, 42-12-4 in game two, 41-13-6 in game three, 26-14-8 in game four, 32-9-6 in game five, 50-14-2 in game six, and that doesn't even include the blocks. So just incredible. You know, you mentioned all of the teams that are going to be coming back to somewhat full strength. You know, Jamal Murray in Denver, and you'll get a full strength Utah Jazz team. Kawhi Leonard, who knows what will happen with him. Anthony Davis, maybe he'll be healthy, but, you know, history says the guy's never healthy. LeBron James, he's wearing down a little bit, but you never know. Golden State, will Klay Thompson come back and be anything near what he was 2 years ago? It's crazy.
Will the Mavs put somebody else with the best player, in my opinion, in the world, in Luka Doncic? Like, can the Mavs add another piece that sets them over the edge? Well, like, there's a lot coming back, man.
A lot coming back, and that brings me to my next question about Chris Paul, because it kind of feels like last night that might have been the nail in the coffin. And I'm not saying that the Phoenix Suns can't get back because they had a hell of a run, but you look at how much deeper every team is going to be next year, and it's like, hey, that was a really good chance, Chris. I mean, that was your one shot at the NBA Finals, and your heart almost breaks for a guy who's been doing it and trying to make it work for so long, who, when he was supposed to go to the Lakers, that trade got kiboshed, and he ended up with Lob City and the Clippers. Like, he's been trying to do this for so long in so many places, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen for him.
Yeah, and I think whoever lost this series between Giannis and Chris Paul, I think that was going to be the narrative for either of them. You know, and Giannis is a lot younger, and still probably in his prime. So it's like, oh, maybe you don't say that about Giannis, but it's like, what's the roadmap for the Bucks winning without a, you know, with an East that is strengthened by teams being at full strength? But it's like, yeah, Chris Paul, I mean, unless you go join the Bucks, which was a thought this offseason, which I think would be a phenomenal fit, by the way, what's his roadmap for getting back? Is it through the West? I don't see it. I mean, I don't.
No, I don't see it either. And I don't know what this Phoenix Suns team, you know, there's a lot of hype. There's a lot of excitement. Obviously, I felt really good. We were a pro Phoenix Suns program here. Hell, we were basically doing Phoenix radio since they knocked the Lakers out. And it was like, okay, well, you know, what else do they need? You know, Jay Crowder, you know, he had a good stat line, but he just had so many moments in the game where it's like, dude, what are you doing? Like, stop trying to draw everything. Like, you're hurting your own brand right now. Mikal Bridges, you know, young guy trying to figure it out. DeAndre Ayton was a ghost. Devin Booker had a really bad night, but it's like, man, what do they need to add? I guess maybe a little bit of depth might help off the bench, because, you know, Payne and Johnson last night weren't necessarily great in their combined 26 minutes, and it's like, I mean, who do you find? How do you get those guys in there? And it's
they needed one more player, right? And it's like Phoenix needed one more player. And you look, and they either they didn't have a draft pick this year, or they whiffed on it. I can't remember what it was for Phoenix. And they did not add that veteran at the deadline, which, you know, as Red Wings fans, we saw that for so many years as Red Wings fans, that, you know, that one player at the deadline might push them over to cup contention and to winning the cup, where, you know, like for example, Blake Griffin. Would Blake Griffin have been a good ad for the Phoenix Suns? I think he would have been. I think he's just one more guy, right? One more vet, one more someone who's played with Chris Paul before too, that understands the way the game's played, and, you know, and magically can dunk again outside of his time at Detroit. Don't get me started on that. But, you know, they did not add that one guy at the deadline, and it was glaring mysterious. It's like they were one guy away, in my opinion.
One guy away. We're always one guy away, but luckily it's Kyle Barlow, and we can audible at any time with this guy. And we love him. Hey, and that's a tournament team, folks. That's the Ohio University Bobcats. Tournament winners. Beat Virginia. Never forget. And he's on our show. We're lucky to have you, Kyle. Thank you so much, Coach Sir Barlow, House Buckets. We appreciate you so much for your time and always hanging out with us, man. Thank you.
Awesome, man. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Take care. Go Bobcats. There he goes, Kyle Barlow. One more time for a little golf clap. People love him. Live studio audience. All right, folks. Guys, Freddie the Pizza Man outing this weekend, correct? You guys will both be there?
That we will.
All right. Represent us. Do God's work. Mike Lissette tomorrow. Brian Fonger's on Friday. I'll see you Monday morning. Same time, same place right here on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.